I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
And that's Grayson. And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time.
Hi, and welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, One Piece at a Time. I am Sean, your host. With me, as usual, my wife, Alexandria. How are you?
Hey, babe.
Really happy to come back to you today with episode 40.
Yes.
And we are going to be talking about some of the things you want to do to help decide what kind of ABA provider you want to use, or even individual therapists as well. So,
by the way, can you believe we're on episode 40 already?
Yeah, we record a lot.
I know. It's just, wow. We're doing good here.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good info out there.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think by the time we hit a year, we'll be over 100.
So. Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, yeah. What a celebration.
Yeah. Party.
Over 100 episodes released.
Yes. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about how to choose a provider. Mm-hmm. So first, I'm going to go through a few questions that, you know, we would recommend you ask when you first initially call and speak to somebody about their program and things like that.
Yeah.
So to start off with, what type of ABA do they provide and what will sessions look like? You know, and the reason you want to ask that is you want to see what kinds of ABA they do.
Yeah.
All ABA is the same. There's a lot of different strategies and techniques.
The one thing that probably is the same is data collection. But other than that, you want to ask everything else.
Yeah. You know, and you want to try to find people usually with an array of different things because of the fact that once you start getting involved and they assess your child and, you know, they're engaging with your child, they're going to, you know, come up with basically a plan. The BCBA is going to come up with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not every child's the same. So a different approach.
Right.
You know, one approach may work better over another. So if they just do one approach, that might not be the way your child learns best.
Right.
So something to think about with that. How much and what type of training do the therapists themselves have?
Yes. This is very, very important. You want to make sure that they are credentialed and licensed, that they're an RBT or, you know, things like that. We had a lot of experience with this. Our company, our past company, was just sending people who had no certification, no knowledge at all. So I was pretty much telling them exactly what to do, which was a lot. And that's not something you want. In the beginning, it was fine for us. And I didn't stop it in the beginning only because Grayson was so young, kind of. And we were just in a totally different place. And then we just started ABA. So I wanted something that was not strict in the beginning for him. That was, you know, really eased into. And I felt comfortable at that time with that. So that was my route. And then I realized, okay, we need to get stricter now. We got a new therapist. And that was the end of that. And he's been on the way up ever since.
Yeah. Because, you know, in New Jersey, I'm not sure about, you know, every state. But in New Jersey, you do not have to be a RBT to do ABA therapy.
Right.
So,
it's crazy.
You know, some states I know do require it. Some states don't. So, you know, it's definitely an important question to ask. Because these companies do not have enough staff.
Right.
You know, they're really short on people, so, you know, since they're not required to have an RBT certification, sometimes they'll just hire anyway.
They will, yeah.
So, next you want to ask, how involved will I be with the assessment treatment? So, you know, how much are you going to be involved in the therapy itself? You know, you want a company that's also going to, and a therapist that are going to explain things to you and do a lot of parent education and parent training. you know?
Right.
You know, I think we've learned a lot from having that type of relationship with our therapist and our BCBAs. Next on the list we have, how will you determine when my child no longer needs services? So what is their assessment, you know, follow-up assessment process like?
Right.
So, you know, how do they assess that? What do they look at? You know, when it comes to speech, how much do they need to be communicating and in what ways? You know, what skills do they have to master in order to, you know, get out of therapy, you know?
Right.
All right, so that was the list of my main questions that we recommended.
Next, you guys, ABA is not a single or one-size-fits-all program.
We'll be right back after a word from our show sponsors. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com, as well as on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys. And now back to the show.
So you guys want to understand that ABA is not for everybody. It's not a single one-or-fits-all size program. You want to feel safe with your provider. You want to make sure that your child is in good hands. You want to feel comfortable with them there. Sometimes you can ask for the company, if they do background checks, to provide those kinds, that kind of information to you. You want to make sure that even your BCBA is certified as well, a master's degree in ABA. You want to make sure that all of those things are in place. Therapy, BCBAs, you want to make sure that you are comfortable. As far as me, you know, it wasn't always about who I liked. As long as Grayson liked them and they worked well with Grayson, that is all that mattered. Another thing is that you want to question practices that make you feel uncomfortable or that may be perceived as dangerous. So some ABA providers, you know, some are very old school. They believe in very, very rigid practices. Even one of our providers a long time ago started strapping Grayson down into the high chair because she was doing this since the 80s. So she didn't really want to follow what the company was telling her. She kind of wanted to do her own thing. So you want to be aware of all of those things. If something doesn't feel right, call the company and ask them. You want to beware of practitioners that make huge promises like, oh, I'm going to cure your son. Things like that are not realistic. So you want to be careful of things like that. Intensive ABA programming is not for the long term. They actually say that there should be a transition plan to move the child out of therapy into a more natural setting, such as school, community. However, mm-hmm. a lot of times when they go to school, they are in an ABA program all day sometimes, depending on what your school does and what the curriculum looks like.
Your child's treatment plan is going to change all right. the time.
Yeah, as they grow up.
Not everybody is the same.
No.
You know, and you also want to, you know, see if they request a lot of information about, you know, the child. If they're not asking for things like, you know, if your child's in school, if they're not asking for a copy of a recent, you know, IEP.
Things like that, yeah.
You know, like different assessments, you know, early intervention information.
You should have the paperwork of diagnosis, all of that.
Yeah, like, If they're not asking for every one of those things, you know they're not doing their own due diligence.
So. Yeah, and they should be, you know, they should want to know what your list is of what you would like your child to do, such as, you know, communication, toilet training, eating at a table, if they need help playing with their brothers and sisters. Like I said earlier, make sure data collection is a critical component of ABA programs. Make sure your provider, like we said, addresses all of your child's ASD and their beliefs match beliefs about your child. So, like I said, make sure you're comfortable. Ask how the provider thinks about issues, including connections between sensory and medical connections and conditions, and behaviors, or the use of visual supports or communication systems such as PECS, ACL device. You know, with Grayson, a lot of times in ABA, they do not look at the sensory aspect of it. However, with Grayson, our providers have learned and gotten to know Grayson and really, you know, learned his behaviors and him just getting through trials and staying focused. And they've realized how much sensory is a key component for how well Grayson's going to do that day. If Grayson is not regulated, Grayson cannot focus. So that's huge, and it's huge that our providers are now integrating sensory into Grayson's programs. You don't see that every day. So if you know your child has sensory-seeking behaviors or issues or whatever it may be, make sure that, you know, when you get that therapist and you get that BCBA, that you ask them what their opinions are on that, because you want somebody who's really open-minded when it comes to that.
You want them to take a holistic approach where they're treating the whole child, not just, you know, the behaviors and behaviorally. So,
and guys, you know, don't be embarrassed to say you don't understand something. Make sure you keep asking and you ask them to explain it if you don't get it. This is your child. You want to make sure that you understand all the words they're using, things like that. The goal is also that you are involved with all of your child's work. Things have to continue at home. It has to be followed up at home. Not just, you know, okay, the therapist comes out and that's an be-all, end-all, you know? Like, no, it has to continue and keep going on throughout the day, and you have to practice those things. So you need to know what to do.
Listen, if you're not going to stay consistent outside of therapy, I mean, it's probably a big waste of time to even do therapy. Because they're going to be teaching the same things over and over and over again, because the child knows that they could just get out of it
as soon as therapy's over. And it's going to cause a problem with therapy then later on.
Yeah. And they're just not going to make as much progress that way.
No.
You know? So, you know, some other things. You want to make sure and this is kind of like a general thing for anybody you're going to be dealing with, but professionalism. You know, making sure they're professional, they respond to you, you know, in a, you know, reasonable time period. You know, you're not always going to expect people to obviously respond, you know, in 10 minutes, but over time. Next would be, you know, obviously being respectful to you, your boundaries, your, you know, like Alex had mentioned, you know, this is your child, you want to know what's going on, and you want them to, you know, respect those boundaries that you put in place.
Yes.
Obviously, you also want to have a staff that is energetic, happy, outgoing, because that's what's really going to engage your child.
That's how Grayson always was.
Yeah. If he has people working with him that aren't, like, excited, it doesn't work out.
No.
He doesn't connect with them the same way.
No.
So,
yeah, they a lot of excited praise. And, you know, enthusiastic and things like that. So,
yeah, because, I mean, reinforcers, you're not always going to use your number one reinforcer for everything in therapy. You know, a lot of times you need to save that one major reinforcer for certain particular really important, you know, skills you're trying to teach.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. So, you know. Sometimes they're only going to get the, you know, great job, that's awesome, yay, type of thing, you know what I mean? And I think we've been trying to do that a lot more with Grayson recently, and I think he's been really receptive to it.
Mm-hmm. You want them to hear that praise
and
get excited. Therapy, if your child if therapy shows up and your child's not excited for it, think, you know, they're not always going to like it, but that's a problem. Yeah, so.
Yeah, in general. Obviously, yeah, they have their, Grayson has his bad days, but.
Absolutely.
But he enjoys therapy a lot of the time now.
Yeah.
You know, when he's, you know, in his good frame of mind and, mm-hmm. you know, happy and excited and things like that, I mean, he walks right over to the table, hands his therapist his iPad, sits right down, and he's like, wait. Sometimes, like, the therapist is getting stuff out, and Grayson's already sitting at the table.
Yeah.
You know, like, ready to go. He knows the drill.
Yeah. He does. It's true, though. And another thing that you want to consider, too, is just, as, you know, we've talked about this in previous episodes, but hours. You want to really take advantage of the hours that you are approved for insurance. Because what happens, Sean, if you only use, if you're approved for 40 and let's say you only use 10.
You may not get the hours back. It's not like you get hours back later on necessarily.
Right.
A lot of times, a lot of insurance companies also will approve less hours as the child gets older because they feel that the, and I think this is kind of messed up, but you know, obviously it is a business for them.
Yeah.
The child has less chance of recovering, you know. Well, obviously there's no full recovery, but they mean the child has less of a chance to becoming, you know, independent and living an independent life.
Especially because a lot of those things, guys, become habits and they become very hard to change. So it's really important to start early. Had I really known from the beginning, like when we started early intervention, I didn't know about any of this. It's just so crazy. I honestly probably would have started ABA at like 1.5, 2 years old.
Just skipped right over early intervention.
I would have done both. But looking back, you know, when I said that I was okay with some of these people that weren't certified, some of them, you know, ours had some experience. Some of them worked in group homes. It all just depended. But it was okay with me at that point because I was comfortable with it. And Grayson, like I said, he was so young. He was not ready. He didn't have any receptive language. So it's very difficult for a kid to sit there with a rigid provider at the table and understand, but he doesn't even understand what I'm saying to him.
Yeah.
So that's why that worked for us. And then as he started getting better with that and getting receptive language and being able to complete these trials, I knew, okay, now we got to step it up and get strict. Because if not, he could really get over on us on anything and we're not going to follow through, whatever. And this is where the behavior can really turn. So that's what we did, and it's really worked out well for us. So we hope these things give you guys something to think about if you are looking for an ABA provider. And if not, listen, ABA doesn't work for every family. So some people just are not into ABA. Some people don't believe in ABA. But just so you have this list of things to think about and just as a guide to kind of help you along the way make a good decision.
So. Yeah, and obviously this is a new experience for you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're trying to decide what provider to go with, something you probably don't have a lot of experience in, you know, and I know you've probably been diving into the information, trying to learn as much as you can, but, you know, it's still helpful to have an idea of the things you need to look for in a provider.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I didn't get to comment on earlier that Alex had mentioned was like background checks. I mean, I think that's really important because unfortunately there are a lot of bad people out there that, you know, have a tendency to want to try to get jobs working with children.
Yeah, guys, so, like the world is not the same as it used to be. You always have to be on your toes, honestly. Yeah.
So yeah, like I just wanted to add that.
If it doesn't feel
that,
right, it's not right.
Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to add that earlier, so I want to make sure I threw that in because
yeah,
I think that's pretty important. So
yeah.
You have anything else to add before we wrap up our show today?
No, that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, find us on IG and Facebook under Building the Puzzle.
Awesome. With that, for Autism, Building the puzzle, one piece at a time, I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off. Take care, everybody. Here Through our Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys.